on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. This one's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but nonetheless, still the YokeCast podcast firing away here as we continue on and get ready for the Summit League seasons in the basketball season. Hope you had a great holiday, however you chose to spend it. I know that not everybody enjoys the holiday season. Maybe you're going through some challenges, but hopefully for you, you were able to spend it as best as you could and enjoy at least a little bit of the holiday, of the Christmas holiday. And now, I don't know, if you're the partying kind, the hangout kind, maybe this New Year's Eve holiday coming up this weekend is the one for you. But New Year's Eve always means that we are closing in on the start of the Summit League season for basketball, and that, of course, is the case this week as the Coyote men's and women's basketball teams will open up Summit League play this week, and we'll see how things go for the Coyotes. The women have had a good start to their season. The men are currently 7-6. Both have played, you know, their challenges in non-conference play, and now they get to measure up against the teams across this Summit League. So we'll see how things go for both the men and the women, which get their postseason, or excuse me, their Summit League season underway this week. And of course, as you know, the both teams will be able to play at home in the opening weekend of Summit League play. So we'll do 1 week of Summit League play, and then, of course, back to the final non-conference games of the season as the Coyotes play in the Big Sky Summit League Challenge. The men on Wednesday will play host to Eastern Washington of next week before they travel to Missoula, Montana to take on the Montana Grizzlies on Saturday. The women's team will be at Montana on Wednesday, and then we'll host Idaho State on Saturday afternoon, January 6th. That's part of the Big Sky Summit Challenge. And so we'll see how all of that plays out for the Big Sky Summit Challenge. But it's new this year, and if you missed any of that, of course, the Big Sky Summit Challenge, new this year. It is going to feature all the teams, and you get one home, one road game. That's why it's a Wednesday and a Saturday. It gives extra time for travel and then prep. But they take out this week of conference play, this first week of January for conference play, because it is, you know, they want to get, they want to be able to have more conference games, I think, when students are available and around. So I think that's part of the goal. This is where it worked for both leagues. That's why we have this. And of course, there will be a little trophy for the league office of whichever league is able to find a way to get more wins in the Big Sky Summit Challenge. And I did see that, you know, they do have some tiebreakers. And one of the tiebreakers at the end of the deal is potentially an arm wrestling challenge between the two commissioners. So we'll see how that all plays out. And hopefully we tie it so we can see this arm wrestling challenge between the two conference commissioners. But we'll see what happens. Got a lot of basketball to be played, and obviously we're hoping the Coyotes can find ways to get wins in theirs. The women's team, love to get a win at Montana and at home against Idaho State. Men's team would love to beat the defending Big Sky champion Eastern Washington, and then a tough road game at the University of Montana. So all that is coming up. That's a Big Sky Summit Challenge, and you know, before you know it, the University of South Dakota Athletic Department will be busy with all of its sports in action here as we get into the winter seasons. This portion of the winter seasons, more indoor track and field, and then you'll continue to see swimming and diving continue their efforts. And before you know it, not too far down the road, believe it or not, softball will be playing its first games of the season, and we'll get into spring sports. And that's just kind of how it goes once we get to this time of year. All right, great to have you alongside for today. This week's episode, just one feature interview, and that is with Nate Tibbetts, a former Coyote men's basketball player who obviously had a great career at USD. He is in the Hall of Fame at the University of South Dakota, and he has gone on to get into coaching, and he started his coaching career at the University of Sioux Falls. and he moved on into development like the G League and the D League and some of that, and then eventually worked his way into the NBA, and he has been an assistant coach in the NBA for a number of years. But now more recently, he has been announced as the head coach of the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA. And so Nate Tibbetts will get his opportunity to be a head coach. It will be at the WNBA level. And recently had a chance to catch up with him and talk to him about his opportunity in Phoenix as a head coach in the WNBA and just kind of how their season is about to lay out. We talked a lot about his coaching career. Nate, first off, congratulations. Newest opportunity for you. You'll be the head coach of the Phoenix Mercury. So congrats on that. New opportunity and career move for you and the family.
Yeah, we're super excited to be headed to Phoenix. New ownership with the Mercury, new front office, and they're really making a big time commitment to the organization, and we're super excited about that.
You bring a lot of, obviously, a lot of years of coaching into the Phoenix organization. And as you look at your career, you spent a lot of time in a little bit of time in the G League kind of thing and some of that. And then, obviously, a lot of time in the NBA. How would you describe, I guess, your coaching career and spending this much time in the NBA?
Yeah, it's been unexpected. Probably, and awesome all at the same time. You know, right now I'm back in Orlando. My family is still here. We're in the process of finding a place in Phoenix, but the G League showcase is here and, kind of brought me back memory lane. You know, I spent 6 years in the D League at that time, and now it's the G League, and, seeing all those coaches and players, you know, trying to make it. And, you know, it's just a good reminder to stay at it. Don't forget where you came from, be thankful. And, it's just kind of wild, the twists and turns. And, you know, luckily I've got an awesome wife that has been willing to make some of these moves along the way. And, this is just another step in our journey.
Did you ever imagine when you were at the University of Sioux Falls beginning a coaching career that this would be the route that one day your career path would take you?
You know, probably no, I didn't. Probably growing up as a kid, in my mind, I probably thought I had a better chance of playing in the NBA, which was not even close to reality, but I think it's every kid's dream. And, when I joined Shane Murphy's staff at USF, to be honest, I thought I'd be a high school boys or girls coach in South Dakota or, you know, do the college thing, and, was given an unbelievable opportunity by the Heinemann family with the Skyforce, Dave Yeager, the head coach. My first year in the minors was in the old CBA the last year. And then my second year we joined the D League, and that's kind of where, you know, everything kind of started going. There was like a light at the end of the tunnel. I probably didn't see it there at that time, but that opened up so many new opportunities and meeting new people that I never even dreamed that I would meet.
When you were working kind of in minor league basketball, did you ever think at that time that maybe there would be an opportunity for you in the NBA, or did that come just kind of as your time continued through the developmental leagues?
Yeah, you know, probably my second or third year in the D League, just starting to meet different pro scouts and different opportunities. After my first year as a head coach in Sioux Falls, which would have been my third year in the minors, I got a call from the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were moving from Seattle, and that was probably the first time that I was like, "Oh man, this might be a opportunity here." We did not go that year just because my dad had passed that year, but the next year they called again, and it was, you know, we couldn't pass it up a second time. And So that was this kind of the first time out of South Dakota for us.
Yeah, and you've obviously been able to make your moves around different parts of the country. Do you have a favorite area of the country? As you about lived in all the corners of it, I think.
Well, I like the part of the country where you win. It's always a lot of fun when you're in a city when you're winning. It doesn't matter hot, cold. You know, the vibe is different. The people are excited about the team, and that's probably the best part of sports is when you're on successful and winning teams.
You obviously grew up in a household with a dad who was a legendary coach around high school and college basketball for what felt like forever, right? Was that always in your mind a thought to follow in his footsteps, or when did it click to you that maybe getting into coaching was a career path that you wanted to take?
Yeah, I think it was always in me. I was the oldest child. You know, my dad was my biggest role model. I followed him to a lot of practices and games over the years. I think even as growing up as a young player, point guard, I tried to pride myself on being a leader and helping others. And yeah, I would always view myself as a coach early in my life. And I knew I wanted to do it. I never knew where or what level or any of that stuff. I just knew that's all I knew because we were in the gym all the time.
Yeah, it's certainly kind of a bloodline thing when you grow up in that type of household. You obviously went on and played at the University of South Dakota, a Hall of Fame career, inducted in 2014, and still up there, all-time leader in assists, I think number two right now, and steals and up in those areas. When you think back to your time playing basketball at USD, what do you think about the most?
Probably the staff. You know, Dave Boots, legendary coach there, was there 25 years. Not a lot of kids in South Dakota probably grow up dreaming to play for the Coyotes. I was one of those kids. You know, my dad was there from 86 to 90. So Tim Hatchett, Mike Graves, Joel Moeller, Greg Lansing, those were all guys that I really looked up to. And, you know, they had a great string of point guards before I had gotten there. And I wanted to be a part of that. So, you know, Coach Boots allowed me to play throughout my career. I played a ton of minutes. We won a lot of games. But, you know, my teammates, I had a, you know, great class that we came in together. Some of the best players maybe in South Dakota history, Jeremy Cooter, him and I both redshirted. And then Ben Reese and Nate Blessin both played. And so it was a lot of fun. Played with a lot of great guys, still great friends. Chuck Wilkie, another South Dakota legend that got to play a year or two with. And, you know, just we won three conference titles. And, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun just because we had good guys and we knew how to play.
What did it mean to you to get the opportunity to not only play but have a great career at the university that you dreamed of going to, and really right in your backyard, right up the road?
Yeah, it was a dream come true. You know, my family got to come and watch, and probably the best part through it all is my brother was always 5 years younger than me, and I redshirted my first year, so. My senior year, my brother Luke redshirted on the USD team, and obviously he had a good career there. And but that was the first time ever that we had really been teammates. And you know, he's still my best friend to this day. He was always my little brother at that time, but you know, that was the first time that we were peers, and that was really, really cool.
Nate, when you look at your next opportunity with the with Phoenix and the WNBA, you've spent a lot of time in the NBA. Has it ever really crossed your mind, or when did you start thinking about maybe moving over to the WNBA and how that might give you a new opportunity?
I mean, to be completely honest, the first time was probably the first phone call that I got, September 12th or 13th, and asking if I would have any interest in making that move. I had never really thought about coaching in the WNBA. It's a great league. Some of the best players, or it is the best women's players in the world. And, you know, I've had different interviews in the NBA level for head coaching jobs, and it didn't work out. And, you know, I thought it'd be good to go through the process. And the more I got in and learning about the organization and the ownership, the more excited I got about this opportunity. And, you know, it's kind of, my schedules have flipped completely upside down. Now is the WNBA off season, and I keep telling our players it's the summer, and they're looking at me crazy. But you know, I've got stuff that is new to me, but I'm excited about the new challenge and learning a new league and the players and the coaches. And the more I get into it, the more excited I get about it.
You've been on the bench for a while at a lot of different stops. What excites you about the opportunity to now be the head coach and get that that step that you've been wanting for a while and now got that opportunity?
Well, yeah. When you're an assistant coach, you make suggestions, and I got pretty good at making a lot of random suggestions. But when you're a head coach, you got to make decisions, and every day you have to be. You got to be on it because your team and your staff and front office is looking at you. There's no days off. And so that was probably the biggest challenge or excitement of what I wanted to challenge myself with next. And that's why, you know, we're excited about Phoenix.
You know, this will be an interesting year in the WNBA. You'll have, obviously, the All-Star break, which you always have, but there's an Olympic break in there as well. This is going to be an extended time off for this group at the end of July and early August.
Yeah, I think the WNBA is kind of always having to adjust to the Olympic schedule. And it's something that obviously is new to me, but not new to the players. You know, they've been through this before, and we're hoping that we have a couple of those our players that play in the Olympics and get an opportunity to win the gold.
Nate, for those who are unfamiliar with the WNBA, how's it work right now? You're obviously in the off season. Do you get to workouts soon? How does free agency and all of that, is the team set for the upcoming year? How's all that work?
Yeah, so been in Phoenix here the last three and a half weeks. We've got 4 to 6 players in town, so it's been great getting to know them, getting on the court, getting in the weight room with them, just developing relationships and trust. And, yeah, free agency starts mid-January. You know, we'll have a couple opportunities to make some moves to get some new players. Mid-January, and then the draft is in April after the Final Four, and we've got the third pick. So we're really excited about that to add a good young player to our core.
Yeah, very cool. Nate, as you look at your career, obviously things are working out right now for you from a small town in South Dakota. What would be your message to, you know, the next Nate Tibbetts, the next small town kid that has big dreams of being in the NBA or the WNBA and how you kind of, stick to that career path and get an opportunity? What's your message to that kid who has those big dreams?
Yeah, I think the message is just, you know, be where you're at, be present, and do the best job that you can. When you do a good job, hopefully opportunities will come in front of you. A lot of this is timing. You know, some of it is scripted, kind of out of your control. But when you're given an opportunity, do the best job that you can. And each and every day, you got to prove why you're here. You know, this is the greatest league in the world. And every day, you know, you got to prove yourself because we're all replaceable. That's one thing. You know, I left Orlando, I was replaced. You know, it's just, so I would just tell people, you know, be present, do the best job that you can, continue to try to learn, challenge yourself, pour into your players, and be completely trustworthy of your head coach 100%.
Nate, really appreciate your time. Congratulations on the new opportunity. Good luck in Phoenix. And I know that in the state of South Dakota, there'll be some new WNBA fans, some new fans of Phoenix as they watch your career continue to unfold. So appreciate the time and good luck to you and your family.
Awesome. Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
That is Nate Tibbetts, of course, a Hall of Fame Coyote men's basketball player, now the head coach of the Phoenix Mercury, and we'll see how things go for him with the stint in the WNBA. You can tell he's fired up about his opportunity and his chance to kind of, you know, dive into being a head coach and into the WNBA. So we'll see how things go for Nate down in Phoenix. All right, time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics, and there is not a lot going on in Coyote Athletics this week because we're in that holiday week stretch, but nonetheless, there's of course some things, including the Summit League basketball openers for men's basketball at North Dakota State. Women's basketball is at home against North Dakota State. Both games tip off at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And then on Sunday, both games at 2 o'clock. The women will play in Omaha for New Year's Eve, while the Coyote men will host Omaha for New Year's Eve. That men's game is a CBS Sports Network nationally televised game. The women's game and men's game for basketball will, of course, be on the Summit League Network as well. So check all of that out. And I know if you're not a fan of mirrored scheduling, many of you are not, because you like to go to as many games as possible or you like to follow along with the other games, you could still do that. I've got the solution for you. It's simple. All right. Buy your ticket. Go to the home game. Take your little radio with you. Old school style. Tune in to the broadcast of the road game, and then you don't have to take your eyes off of the floor of what's in front of you. You get to listen to what's going on to the other game, and then you know what? If it works for you, you can go back and watch the game that you missed and see how it all played out. So there's your solution. That's my advice to you. That's my offer. That's what I got for you. Maybe that won't be for you. But just trying to give you some options to try to survive mirrored scheduling because there's a lot of people not fans of it, and we totally understand why, right? You like to, you'd rather have a men's game, even if it's on the road on maybe a Thursday, the women's game on a Friday, and you can just follow along to all of it. But the schedule makers, this is what they give us, and so this is what we got, and this is what we are going to deal with. So there you go. There's my pitch. There's my solution. It may not be the best solution, but hey, it's a solution, right? That's what we're trying to do here. All right, as you know, the University of South Dakota has recently announced a new athletic director. It is John Schemmel, who spent some time at the University of South Dakota, but now returns as the athletic director. You may have followed along to some of this, but there are a lot of welcome receptions and opportunities to meet John Schemmel here over the next week. Next week's going to be the week to do all of this. So it starts at the Lunch with the U next Thursday at 11:30 in Sioux Falls at Pizza Ranch, 41st Street location in Sioux Falls, 11:30 a.m., Lunch with the U. So you can show up to that and interact, hear from new athletic director John Schemmel and what he has going on. And then later that day on January 4th, that Thursday, in the Sioux City area, there is a welcome reception for John Schemmel. That is at 4:30 in the evening. This is on Thursday, January 4th, and it will take place at the Warrior Hotel. The event starts at 4:30. John Schemmel will address the attendees at 5:30 in the evening that day. And if those don't work for you, then on January 5th at 9 a.m., John Schemmel will be at the Hillcrest Golf and Country Club in Yankton for a meetup with the Yankton area folks. And then, of course, out in Rapid City later that day on January 5th, that Friday, John Schimmel will be out in Rapid City for a meet and greet event as well. And that will take place at Arrowhead Country Club in Rapid City starting at 4:30 Mountain Time. And, of course, John Schimmel will address the group at 5:30. So all of those chance and opportunity to meet up with John Schimmel, the new athletic director at South Dakota. And, again, they will be in Yankton, Sioux Falls, Sioux City, and Rapid City, and you can check out all of that information. It's all available at the Howling Pack Facebook page, so check it out and make sure you stop in and see John Schimmel and welcome him back to the University of South Dakota. All right, that's going to do it for me this week for us here on the Yotecast podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time to have the conversation and listen in to the Yotecast podcast. My thanks to Nate Tibbetts for joining the show this week. All right, that's it for me. Till next time, I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend and stay safe.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.